Hello everyone, welcome to the Wig Machine. Jeg taler engelsk, fordi dagens gæst er engelsk, eller han er vokset op i England. Han er bosiddende i Danmark. Han får selv lov at forklare hele sin backstory i afsnittet. Men det er i hvert fald Jefferson Bond. Eller skulle jeg sige Bond. Jeff Bond. Den joke har han sikkert ikke hørt 1000 gange. Nej, det var første gang. Anyways, Jeff optræder på engelsk, men i Danmark. Han taler både dansk og engelsk, men hans engelsk er ret meget bedre. Og når jeg har gæster, der laver stand-up på engelsk, så jammer vi altid, det er ikke altid, jeg har haft det en gang før, altid på deres emne på engelsk. Det er det eneste, der giver mening, når nu det er det sprog, som de i sidste ende skal fremføre deres stand-up på. Så vi jammer engelsk materiale på engelsk, men når vi så jammer på mit materiale i det her afsnit, så skifter vi til dansk af præcis samme årsag. Og jeg var så lidt frem og tilbage omkring, hvilket sprog vi skulle snakke i interviewdelen af podcasten, men jeg landede altså på engelsk, fordi Jeff og jeg plejer at tale engelsk til hinanden, og I får også et renere indtryk af, hvem han er, når han taler på sit modersmål. Jeff er en mega fed fyr. På scenen der er han charmerende, han er hurtig, han er energisk, han er original. Han har bare en virkelig god sans for observationer, men han leverer dem ikke som en klassisk observationskomiker. Han lægger sgu lige lidt mere tempo og følelse i. Jeg synes, han er fed. Jeg tror aldrig, ham og jeg har haft mere end halvandet sekunds stilhed, når vi snakkede. Hold kæft, vi svinger godt. Men det gør vi allerbedst på engelsk. Så det meste af podcasten er endt med at blive på engelsk. Jeg ved ikke, hvorfor jeg bruger så meget tid på at forsvare den her beslutning. De fleste af jer kan engelsk. Jeg tror, der er flere af jer, der kan forstå engelsk, end der er folk, der kan forstå Jeff Bond på dansk. Fuck. Sorry, Jeff, if you're listening. Anyways, vi kører på engelsk. Undskyld til Heino Hansen og de 100 andre mennesker, der føler, de mangler undertekster. Jeg tror alligevel, I vil hygge jer med det her afsnit. Jeff, han er pisse godt selskab. Let's get going! Det ved jeg ikke, hvorfor jeg sagde sådan. Bare rolig. Jeg snakker normalt engelsk i afsnittet. Okay? Vi kører. Velkommen til Vigmaskinen.
My top is like a crinkled mess.
You're fine.
Thanks, man. I'll take it.
I've never seen you care so much about that.
No, that's true. It's, you know, it's just because of the potential of meeting all these new people. And if this is the go out there, it's just they're like, why do I want to go see a show? He's homeless.
Oh.
Yeah. Or maybe I should go see a show.
Yeah. People feel bad for the homeless.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Rather than here, you know, especially when you walk past, Danish people famously feel bad for the homeless.
Yeah. I'm not sure we do that.
No. The first, because I have that Danish mentality now, is when I walk past, I look past them, I was like, shouldn't you be on a support? Like, there's a safety net for you. Yeah. Whereas in like Ireland or whatever, you're like, oh, sure, you know, he's falling about in tough times, you know, he likes to drink a bit too much. And yeah. Whereas here, you're like, can I go put down big elevator? Can I feel a job?
Well, anyway, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. What a solid intro.
Fucking crushing it.
Yeah,
dude.
Bro. 100%.
Yeah. Why don't we just start from the top? Like, so where are you from? How did you get here?
100%. Because
I think I kind of know.
Yeah.
But I also want you to tell me.
For sure.
So I definitely know.
For sure, man. So it's a bit complicated. So my family is from Northern Ireland. And
yeah.
So, and I now live in Omagh, which is just on the border between the Republic and north of Ireland.
Yeah.
Depending on your political inclinations, of course.
Northern Ireland stuff.
Yeah, mate. Don't worry. It's like my whole family's from there. And sometimes, you know, you're just there like, you can go here, but don't go here wearing this shirt. Because if you wear this shirt, then they're going to think you're this.
It's like catching up on Game of Thrones. It's like, I don't really know what you're mad at each other about.
Oh, 100%.
Anymore.
Yeah. Just
like it's religion, right?
Yeah, but a lot more than that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, like sure.
You know, like any other conflict in the world, the religion is like the surface, and then underneath is the, you know,
yeah.
It's like a flueballer. It's like, yeah, there's the religion's the chocolate, but inside is the cream of something much weirder. Yeah. I'm just trying to think what I'd love to see the Troubles as Game of Thrones. That would be wild.
Like, they should for like nerds like me,
yeah,
who want to be interested in foreign politics. Yeah. I need the Game of Thrones map and the theme song, like,
bro, that would be so funny. It's just going through
and
the
then I'd be like, oh, it was their area to begin with. Oh, I see.
Maybe they should actually have independence. I'm just imagining the Game of Thrones stuff, but it's going through like farms. Like, it's just all rural. It's like Ulan.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. And it's just a guy called Colin going, like, milking a cow. Yeah. What the fuck? I'm trying to think about it. It's like winter is coming, but it's just that, like, there's probably some sectarian violence word that I could put in there, but I can't think of it right now. But no, yeah, so my family's all from Northern Ireland. And then when I was four, I moved. My mum and my brother and I, we moved to the northwest of England. So yeah? Just outside of Liverpool.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
So and like out of the frying pan into the Scouse fire.
But sometimes when you tell me about Northern Ireland,
yeah,
it sounds rough.
Yeah. Yeah. It is rough. But it's also the best. It's like also the greatest. Like I miss it very much. Like my family now, my family live in the countryside now, but like I just had my poltergeist in Belfast City.
Your what?
My stag do. My bachelor party.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my bachelor party. So I just had that, and that was.
You call it a pulsifest?
A pulsif? Yeah. Is that what it is in Danish?
Technically, there could be women at the stag party.
Yeah,
you know, women have them too.
A DEI hire. yeah, was Poltabist, isn't it? Poltabist.
Poltabend.
Poltabend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept trying to fit.
It's confusing. We took a German word.
I kept trying to fit party in there, and I was like polter and party and like.
Sure.
When you think polter, you think like ghosts, like poltergeist or something.
Yeah, it's not one of those nights.
No, the ghost of your past decisions.
So you were having your stag night.
I was having my stag night in Belfast, mate, and it was like, again, I had a few Danish friends with me, and when they were there, you see some like mad stuff. Like the first thing we saw was like three people who were clearly on all the drugs outside our local Netto, and they were just full on having an argument. And my friend, he said to me, he's a very stoic man,
yeah,
very funny guy, and he was just like, you've been out in Belfast before. I was like, yeah, I've been out in Belfast before. And he's like, right. And he's just watching these people for like whilst we're waiting outside the shop. He's like, so that's like normal. And I'm like, yeah, it's Tuesday. they're arguing about, you know, how come the voices in their head is in Russian? How come his is in Irish? But Northern Irish people are just some of the funniest people in the world. And like, it's annoying. It's like Scottish people as well. It's like they just have killer one lines. You're like, fuck's sake, I couldn't even thought of that. I sat down and thought of that. That's really funny.
So when you came to Denmark, I was sort of like, oh, I want to do comedy on easy mode. let's escape these
so true.
Funny people.
So true, dude. I was like, the Olympics seems pretty hard. Let's go for the under 10 boys.
Yeah.
Don't take that out of context. I know I'm coming from Ireland. Don't take that out of context. Do you know it's so funny you mentioned that, dude? Because we were on my bachelor party. We were on these bikes, like we planned, like my best man planned these bikes. So we're all on a bike, which by the way, terrible idea. Like, you know, it's like a table and then there's multiple bicycles and then you're cycling and drinking at the same time.
Did a Danish guy plan this?
Mate, I don't know. What's his name? Jonas, who won the little tiny fella? What's his name? The guy who won the Tour de France? Your Danish fella?
Jonas Vingegaard.
That's him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, sure.
He said cycling and he was in. Then he got in trouble with his... like because he was renovating a kitchen or something.
I think his wife was like, it's kind of annoying that he doesn't help around the house.
See, like, this is why they're not invited to bachelor parties.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like, you don't understand. You don't get it. Yeah. We've got to bicycle around and drink beer and get really bloated with men in our 30s and 40s. Dude, it's so funny you mentioned about doing it on easy mode because one of my friends, he played, because we were playing music through the speakers and we're going through Belfast City Centre. It is busy.
Yeah.
And dude, and he just plays my clip from TV Toe that I did on Zulu Open Mic.
Oh, yeah.
About Blikna Luta, which is the perfect clip as well because it's the one thing that no one... Like it's context dependent. And they have no idea what it is. And it's blasting out and all these Irish people are turning around, Northern Irish people are turning around like, what the fuck is that? And then like, I was like, I don't get embarrassed easily, but there's a video of me and I'm there like, I'd throw myself under this bicycle if I could.
I would be very embarrassed.
Oh dude, it was awful, but funny. Like I was like, well done. You guys, it was sweet in a way. Cause it's like, you know, this would get to me.
How do you feel about that clip though? Because I watched it and I really like it.
Thanks, man.
But it's also like the one of your clips that's like really blown up.
Yeah.
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 And it's about like Danish culture. And I know that when you perform, you don't want to do just about Danish culture.
No.
Like there's a market for foreign comedians going to Denmark, talking about Denmark.
Yeah.
And it's like this in every European country, I think.
10,000,000%. I know every person who did that, like who's the most successful in all of the Nordics and Scandinavia. Like, they're like, oh, you're the this. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like, and also it's a bit of a, and this is absolutely no judgment against anyone who does this. I think it's a bit of a trap. Like, you can easily fall into, because sometimes, you know, people just want, especially here, like this lovely, wonderful country, 5.8 million people.
We love hearing about ourselves. Oh,
mate, you're like that Leonardo DiCaprio moment in Once Upon a Time, that meme where he goes,
yeah.
Every time you're on TV, you're like, oh my God, that's us. It's how I used to feel when I saw my name in the museum gift shop. Because Jefferson's a weird name.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had all those like keychains and it's like, it would say like Matthias and Tobias.
Oh, yeah.
I never had that. And then if it had Jeff, but it's spelled with a G, I was like, good enough. It's close enough, you know?
We really love that.
You love it.
More than other countries, right?
Yes. And that's why sometimes it's a bit of a trap because all you have to do is, for example, I've performed in Danish before.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've performed.
Oh, never heard it.
And there's a reason. I performed in Danish, dude, and it was like Grisen, RIP to a real one. Which is now
yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah, yeah. Then Glelgris.
It's over, man.
It's over.
That's because of me. It's because I
would say
that.
They had a good run, but no, they just had a long one. You know?
There's a difference.
So true.
Dude, put that on a tombstone. I say it's a good run. It was just mainly long. That's so good. And I performed in Danish, dude. And this is maybe like a year and a half ago. So, my Danish is fine, like, but am I good enough for people to come and enjoy themselves? No, and I feel bad because also what happened was people weren't laughing at what I was saying. People were laughing at the way I was saying it.
Oh yeah, fuck.
Yeah. So then, which is double humiliating because you're like, oh wow, I'm actually trying. That sucks. And like, I remember though, I had this in this moment on stage. I remember like in a moment of frustration, I was just there like, you know. Det er meningsløst for mig at komme på scenen og oversætte mine jokes, når jeg kan bare sige dansk ord, og du griner. Altså, og så jeg siger, blåbær. Og kvinder går, altså, fucking, hvad fanden er det? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it was, But like, I really, the blikne looked a bit, I was very happy when I came up with it, and I try my best at least. I always have a rule where I'm there like, okay, well, if a Danish comedian could do this, then I'll do it.
Smart.
If the whole thing is me just translating a word, like you couldn't do that. You couldn't. I mean, unless it was very unique, specific word, you couldn't just go on stage and be like, "Oh, Liverpool. Oh, there's a reason it's called that because it's Liverpool. Aye." Like, you know, you couldn't do that. People would be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yeah.
So my rule is like, if a Danish comedian couldn't do it, like a Danish comedian could do my blikne lukt a bit because you could just do it with a foreign friend you were showing it to, or a foreign girlfriend.
Is about like how everyone in Denmark thinks it's really funny.
Yeah,
but you were shown it completely out of context.
Yeah, dude.
And just a guy punching a woman.
So true as well. Like my fiance and soon to be wife, she showed me that. And I just remember being like, what? Like, she's like a hardcore, you know, feminist, equal rights. And she's pissing herself. I'm like, I really don't get this.
You need the buildup. You very much need the buildup.
But the funny thing is that I don't say in that joke is like, after she's like, no, you don't understand. She's really annoying. And I'm like, so? I know lots of people are annoying. I've never hit them.
Yeah.
It's such a brutal, like, and it's because it's such a like realistic sound of, you know, people getting punched, it's so visceral. It's yeah. So like,
to me, what always gets me about that scene is that, first of all, the buildup is great.
Yeah.
When you know, like, these are four psychos.
Psychopaths, yeah.
And she doesn't know.
Oh, it's so good.
And she has that, it's a trope, but it's true, like that white woman that doesn't know she's in danger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That ditzy kind of la, 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 la.
Yeah. She, who doesn't notice any of the fucking off-putting signs.
Red flags of all these mental people.
Just keeps talking. And what always gets me is that after she gets the punch, she doesn't know what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So she asked her boy, she asked her boyfriend, what happened?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just goes, yeah.
Yeah. How do you respond to that? There's just the, like, there's so many red flags as well. Like, the guy's just painting an egg black.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what the? And then after as well, you know, the whole, like, it's just hit after hit, that scene as well, just because it's like, oh, that was a sick, it was a sick hen that led the egg. Yeah. Yeah, don't worry. Like, that's just, it's just funny.
But out of context, it's very not funny.
Oh, no, it's just insane. It's like an insane, like, oh, this is the funniest thing you'll see. You need to know this when you live here. And it was just there like, right, well, I'm not going to commit domestic violence for a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Not unless you really got your back against the wall.
You know.
We've all had those rough nights at Friesen.
You're still laughing at me saying blueberry, are you? After a few pints, just getting really fucking Northern Irish. I'm like, what are you laughing at?
When I was hosting Griesen, and I haven't for years, I used to say, you know, this is where stand-up started in Denmark.
Mm.
And to be frank, this is where it ends.
That's true. It's so true. And I have
You will see someone giving up.
Yeah. Often. Not even one. Like, just... Mate, like, that's so true as well, and I have massive respect for that when the Danish scene standard up, like, started here, because, like, you had that experience of how it was in the UK and Ireland, where people are like, what the fuck is this? And, like, to be at Griesen and then have to compete with people yelling at the bar, and people be like, people at Griesen often used to come in and go, like, was geht? It's like,
yeah.
Comedy. What do you, like, just use your mind. What do you think is happening?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, we put up so many signs outside of Griesen.
Yeah.
Like, and on every door
to
the
bar. Obvious. Yeah.
Like, is the big sign, stand up, open mic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, because the people who go there are drunk out of their minds.
Drunk children. They're all drunk children. They're all drunk. Of course you're saying Vasquera. You don't know what anything is. Your hair's still wet from the womb.
Yeah.
You've just left your mom. So of course you're confused by the world, you know? But I moved here when I was 2000. So this has been 2016. I got a job in Tivoli at a show called The Crazy Christmas Cabaret.
Oh yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, that was my.
Yeah, what was the job? What was
I was an actor. I was in it. Like, so.
Oh
yeah,
shit.
Yes, and I was like 23.
That's like a massive show.
Oh, but like, and I tell you, it's
like, so many people go every year.
Oh, Morton, like.
But is it still running?
Yeah, it is still doing it. Bremen this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And dude, I was like, I didn't know what it was. So I'd just come back from Italy. I lived in Italy for like 9 months. And I got fired. I think I got fired from that job. But the reason I got fired was because they didn't want to pay me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's,
they make.
Because that's why everyone gets fired.
Yeah. that's at least what I told my lawyers.
Yeah. I feel like you're rationalizing. Of course you got fired because they didn't want to pay you. What are you talking about?
No, more. They just thought I was too cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Yeah. They just couldn't handle how cool I was.
Yeah.
I was just there like, what, you know, when I was teaching kids English in Italy, it was like, what, you don't know the word for cocaine? Oh, I thought you were cool.
Yeah.
So
you got fired from your job in Italy.
I did, but like, true story. So I was teaching English around the country, and then we'd do like little tiny shows in English, and then we'd do a workshop after. It was like my first job outside of university.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then I lived on this tiny little heel, like in, you know, the heel of the boot, the heel of Italy.
Isn't that... Oh, the heel, not Sicily. Yeah, the heel.
Yeah, the heel. Not the stone that's being kicked by the boot. The heel. And then we were in this summer house, and like, it's freezing. It's a summer house, but it's made of cinder block, and like it's cold and it's windy, and so they had to send us like space heaters and all this kind of stuff, and like I got pneumonia and then had to dress up as like a wolf, like the Big Bad Wolf, you know. And like, so I've got pneumonia, and then I've just got these Italian kids yelling at me like, you're trying to teach them English but they're just saying Italian back at you. They're just, you're like, I'm the Big Bad Wolf, and they're going lupo lupo, and you're like, this is meaningless. Like, you're also all like fetuses, like you've just like, how are you gonna, you don't even understand Italian yet, how are you gonna understand English? And so then they tell me, right, okay, drive up to, if the boot, we're looking at the boot analogy, if the zipper is at the front, you'd have to drive all the way up there. And so that's like an 8-hour drive. So I drove up there with my colleagues who had quit because the job was so bad. And then he made me unpack everything out of the car. And then I was like, what's going on? Because I was going to go on one break for a week. And he was like, I set everything out of the car that is yours. And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, you are fired. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you have fired. You have broken all of these rules, and all of the rules are bullshit. It's like, you can't use the car for personal reasons.
Oh, yeah,
it's like, well, okay, well, how would we go to the supermarket? Like all of this stuff. And it was like, we have got constant complaints from all the teenagers. And I was like, that's weird, because just 2 weeks ago, you told us we were the best team and we just made you something like 200,000 euros or something.
Yeah.
So it was just a classic foop. You know, they were taking advantage of young kids. So, because the deal was, they had to hold, they pay you 200 euros and then they keep 300 euros to make sure that you finish the run, which should have been a major sign.
Yeah.
But I was just a kid and I was like, oh, wow, 200 euros. That's amazing. But so I left that, and then I moved back to the UK, and then I was in this play, and then the person who owns the Crazy Christmas saw me in it, and then I auditioned, and then I thought this was another one of Italy. I was like, I'm going to go teach. Yeah, truly. I was like, because I saw like
You were like amazed when people showed up.
Dude, I was amazed when like the poster's on the side of the bus, like my face is on the side of a bus. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm a 23 snot-nosed kid with no money.
Yeah.
And then I turn up and then you're in Glass Sailing and it's like 60,000 people per season. And like, it was such, when it turned.
And that's a crazy good room.
Oh, bud. So
good. I've never performed there. I just. Oh. Been to shows.
Oh man.
So good.
The vibe is amazing. Also, the chairs aren't comfy.
Yeah.
So, which is huge, as we know in comedy, is like if the audience is too comfy, then they stop paying attention. So it's like they always complain about them. It's like, yeah, but that's because the comedy is like your carrot at the end of the stick, you know? And it's an amazing room, and I had the best experience there. I worked there for 6 years and met like the ghost stories there were awesome.
Stories in Glass Sailing.
Yeah. Dirk Pass's ghost, because he died on there, didn't he?
Yeah. He did.
So it's really weird because the stage manager showed me, he's like, this is where he died. And I was like, that's funny because I'm doing a pirouette double jump on there in a second. I'm literally dancing on his grave.
Yeah, but are you doing it sober?
No. No.
All right, then you might.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be respecting the ghost.
Yeah, he'd appreciate that. He'd be like, flawed man. But that was a great gig. And it was really good for stand-up as well, because I'd quit stand-up for a little bit, because I did stand-up when I was younger, when I was like 19 to 21. Like I, you know, not hardcore, but I did it a bit. It was awful, of course. Like, I had no life experience. So like, do you want to hear the first joke that I ever told?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't, but tell me.
Oh, it's bad. It's more, it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
So I write this, you know, literally first draft, I write that and I go, that's genius. You know what I mean? Because you don't know anything. You're like, that's genius. I'm a theater kid. I'm like, everyone's going to think it's great. What's it? So the whole joke is I'm genuinely half deaf, so I can't hear out my left ear.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and I was going on I was on Tinder and I matched with this deaf girl and we were talking on Tinder, no problem, you know, texting. And then we met up for a coffee, whatever. But she spoke fully in sign language and I don't speak sign language at all.
Yeah, we don't teach sign language to half deaf
people. No, not even half of it.
We just ask them to turn the other way. Yeah.
It's like, don't listen to this part. Just turn to the right. Okay, you can listen now. Oh, okay. And so that she's signing to me. And so I like, you know, I'm there like, I don't know how to speak. So I'm just making up sign language words, and you know, she must be like, why are you saying my dad's a dolphin? You know, things like that. Right. And then my big joke for this whole thing was, and I was so nervous and my heart was beating and she was getting upset. And you know, it, this whole time it was like staring death in the face.
And that was the punchline.
That was, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Which is exactly what it got.
Fuck. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to get.
It's brutal.
Oh, shit.
And then I waited for the applause that I thought would come and no one gave it me. And then a guy in the back gave the old classic, when does the comedy start? And then everyone laughed. And I was like, shit. And then I said, like, in a moment of like pure like vulnerability and honesty, it was like, when does the comedy start? And everyone laughed. And I went, now, it was supposed to be then. And then they all laughed.
Yeah.
Because that was funny. Because it was like honest and like, and then the host came up to me and he was just like, I was like, that was my time. And I walked off and he came and gave me a pat on the back as he takes the microphone off me.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, lucky mate. That was, you know, good try. And he literally comes on and goes, wasn't he shit? And everyone goes, hey! And I was like, ah! And like,
I wish more people would do that in Denmark.
Dude, I do too.
We would never, never do that.
No.
And if someone ever did, it's like a story that people are still telling. Like, you hear what Stockholm did?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, dude, mate, I think it's good for you. It's good for you. And also, but what you do have.
And he or she knows it was shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No. What you guys
do. It matters, but they already suffered.
Yeah.
You know?
They've already been through
enough. The audience not laughing was the worst.
Mate, that's so true, though, is like what you do have here, which is like Zoo used to have this thing where a load of pretty big name of British comedy and Irish comedy would come over, right? So I was the host. I was the host when they would do that, and it was really class. And they would, like, none of them ever did this, but like... one thing is very specific to Denmark and Scandinavia in total is, because I've, you know, doing it in Norway and Sweden, I've seen people go on stage and not do so well, is what you guys will do is you will just sit in silence but smile. So you can't do anything if you're bombing as a comedian. Mm. Because also what I've seen here is sometimes when people bomb, they have a go at the audience. And it's like, you can't have a go at them because they're being nice and respectful.
Yeah.
So they want you to do well. Whereas, you know, back home, if someone's like, you're shit, you can kind of... maybe come up with something funny on the fly, or like, you know, or just do something self-deprecating. It was like, I know, you know, or something like that. Right. And then get them back in the mood. But when, you know, when they're just going, yes, smiling, yes, it's like punching smoke. You can't do anything with that, you know?
Yeah. I think
it's worse.
We're too good in Denmark at pretending like everything's great.
Mm.
Everything's fine.
Mm.
And I don't know when it started. Like, it might be in the 40s.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. When we got so good at that.
Well, famously during that time of absolute calm throughout the world.
But I feel like if that happens and you don't have an army and you just surrender immediately, you have to go like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just see what happens.
I think so. But also, again, like you guys went to war on bicycles against what at that point was one of the most powerful armored division in the world.
Yeah, but like 12 people did that.
Yes, the best.
The rest of us were just sitting around like, oh.
That was your Avengers.
We were just brushing up on our German. We were not.
Are you coming? Are you coming? It's like, no, I'm trying to learn the best way. I've learned all these genders. please do not shoot. How do you say that? That's mad. No, it is true. It is true.
The English mic and club scene in Copenhagen.
Mm.
What's it like? Because I've only tried it once.
Yeah, you smashed it. It was really, you did though.
It was fine. It was fine. I was like, all right, I'm going to tell you why I haven't done it again. Because I kind of feel guilty.
Go on.
I was bummed out about how uncomfortable I was.
Fair.
And I was, like, it took me 8 years to be comfortable in Danish.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm not going back. I can't do it. It's just, I might someday. But I was just like, oh, fuck. Like, the material was not the problem. It was just...
The feeling. But you couldn't tell, man. I was watching you smashed it. And, like, I'm not just saying that. You were, like... It was, again, and then you came after and you were saying to me that you were like, ah. And I was like, that was incredible. Like, it really, you know...
I know it was good for our first
unbelievable
time in English.
Yeah, unbelievably good. To the point that as well, I was like, you motherfucker.
Oh, that's nice.
I was like, oh, fucking hell.
But when I was there, I kind of realized like a lot of the Mike men, the Mike scene in English is like people from all over Europe,
yeah.
and they're coming and like they're doing stuff that works everywhere.
Yeah.
So they're talking about themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally. They're talking about themselves and where they come from.
Mm.
But when you see like, when you see it 8 times in a row, it becomes kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Because
then, here's the Polish guy doing the Polish jokes. And here's the Finnish guy doing the jokes about being Finnish. And
mate, you've hit the nail on the head. It's the hardest part as well is, I suppose, because the audience is also new, obviously, you know, sometimes new audiences every night, they're also from all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
that was really interesting, though.
Yeah, yeah. You've got like people from, got people from Eastern Europe who, you know, crave like the fucked up dark stuff.
Yeah.
Right. That, like, in my opinion, isn't funny. Like, it's just not objectively, it's just like mentioning someone being sexually assaulted and like, that's comedy. And it's just, they're like, there wasn't even a punchline. He just said sexual assault, like, you know, things like that. So trying to make that group of people laugh is like running with wet, like, leg weights as well. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? So for you, if you were to go and go do it in like the UK and Ireland, I think you'd have a better idea of being like, ah, well, you know, at least these people are one, you know, group. They're one entity.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But, and also if I were to do it in a country where I'd been, like, it's so weird being at the club I'm usually performing in Danish in.
Yeah.
And just doing it in English, it feels like lying.
I totally get that. Fuck yeah, dude. The scene here is super interesting because again, like you have, cause it's relatively new. Like when I moved here, like, and then started doing stand up here, like there was one mic in the whole of Copenhagen. It was once a month.
Yeah.
And like, that was it. And then now we're at 4 a week and that's great. And we've gone from like 10 people to like 100 and something.
So let's say you're an English speaking person in Copenhagen. Where do you go? Give me the list.
Citizen on a Thursday, twice a month. We do that. That's mine.
Cafe Citizen.
Yeah. Citizen, which is a really good place. Really a lot of fun. You've got a Proud Mary, which is new because that used to be Danish, but the owners figured out, it's like, because that's just do you know that part, Proud Mary and the Old Irish, do you know that area there?
Yeah, yeah.
That one, do you know the police, I think the police call it English Quarter or like British Quarter.
Because, oh, I didn't know.
Because that's where all the English and British people are. Like,
oh.
And they have to go there when people have fights. They just call it that, right? And so Proud Mary, they it was a Danish mic, but they changed it to an English one because all of the tourists would go upstairs and then they'd be like, oh, right. Oh, I don't understand anything that's being said here.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'd leave. So they were like, okay, well, I suppose we have to do it in English.
Yeah.
Bloody foreigners. and then...
it's fine. You can have Bloody Mary.
that's what it should be called. Bloody Mary on a Saturday.
No, Proud Mary.
No, but Bloody Mary's better.
Yeah, Bloody Mary.
Depends. On a Saturday, it turns into Bloody Mary, I tell you.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's Proud Mary. That's every Monday. There's Citizen on a Thursday. There's Knock Knock on a Tuesday. That's every Tuesday as well.
That's a great club as well. Central Copenhagen. Oh,
so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And also just, I had last week one of the best shows I've ever had. And like, do you know when you're like, oh my God, like Steph Curry, the basketball player, says that sometimes when you're in a row, you throw the basketball, it's like throwing a basketball into the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, cause you just know it's going, like, it was just one of those very rare times. I was like, oh wow, the audience is so amazing that I can actually say whatever I want here.
Yeah.
And it will land. So I got to like do a load, and it was so Knock Knock, great place to perform. And then there's theatre play. I think that's on the alternating Thursday. There's tons of places to catch some English speaking comedy if you're interested.
Yeah.
But of course, you know.
But there's also your show.
There is. There is my show.
Yeah, yeah.
What a segue. You're doing brother. Fucking... Look at you.
Yeah.
Mate,
you have no idea the segues I'm doing.
You're making moves. This is great. This is so good. This is so good. That was really smooth.
Not anymore, but
it could have been. It could have been. No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to...
But the Up Festival.
Yeah, very
You're
exciting.
Doing a show. What scene are you at?
I'm at the ICC Theatre, the Improv.
Oh, that looks cool.
Mate, I'm so excited for that. Is funny enough, the first place I ever performed in Denmark. So nice. It's kind of beautiful to be going back there with my show, which is really, really nice. I'm very excited. I'm the only, it meant a lot, and it still does mean a lot. I'm the only English-speaking comedian at the festival. Mm. And that's really nice because sometimes it was, at the beginning, it always feels like I was, like, because I'd go to Danish mics and ask for spots and stuff, and I always felt like I was intruding. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was not that anyone made me feel that way, but yeah. It was just because it hadn't been, at least in Copenhagen, it wasn't really done. Like, I would just go, hi, and this is before I could speak any Danish. I was like, hi, can I just like do 5 minutes? And like, the hosts were always lovely. They were like, yeah, you could try.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm there like, well, in my head, because when I moved, I was like, everyone speaks English perfectly, like better English than my English friends, truly. And I was like, right, this will be fine.
Yeah.
And so, then it was really nice to be at least recognized by the community and be included in this Danish comedy festival. That's really nice.
Oh, but it's so cool that it's happening.
Yeah. So,
because we want the festival to grow.
Yeah.
And at some point, it would be cool if like a big bunch names. Of yeah, people yeah, came yeah, yeah. from all over the place, you know?
Yeah, like there's the Lund Comedy Festival in Sweden that yeah. I've been performing at a few years. They get huge names like Acaster and like big American names, and they come over there. So hopefully, same for Up, that would be class.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So the show is Lucky Potato.
Lucky Potato, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that obviously, Heli Kartoffel, which is like kind of the whole thing of what the show is about, which is just, I feel very fortunate considering everything that's I've gone through.
Yeah.
To be here and to be able to do this is I'm so, so grateful.
Yeah.
And it's all about like trying to fit in and then finding where you fit in and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But a potato is also like kind of a Northern Irish
yeah,
thing
for sure,
or
yeah.
an Irish thing, right?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like there's the old Irish thing about like us loving potatoes, which is some stereotypes are true. I just had mashed potato yesterday and it was genuinely one of the greatest, like for 20 minutes, I was so happy.
Who the fuck doesn't love potatoes?
Great question. Psychopaths, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It like, must be that.
You're Charlie Kirk's.
Yeah, sure. He has a sign, like he says, prove me wrong. And that's when things get really heated.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, he's lucky he didn't say that earlier. Yeah. Spuds don't care about your feelings.
So what's the show is about? Feeling lucky or just...
Yeah, so it's all about like trying to find a... like. So I've moved around so much and I've always been like this... of course, comedians are going to say this, but I've always genuinely been... very different wherever I've gone. So yeah. My family's from Northern Ireland. I moved to Liverpool. So I sounded weird.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So then I eventually started to mix.
Even to people from Liverpool.
Yeah. Which is just fucked up. So like I'd sound a bit weird. And I was a very, as all comedians are, like, I think like you're a sensitive weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so so I didn't really fit in that very Liverpool was like, Liverpool in the 90s and early noughties was like, you know, everywhere else in like the 70s and stuff. Cause it was just like hyper masculine. Like you like football or you don't, or you're gay.
Ah, yeah.
You
sure.
know what I mean? Like, yeah. you, if you're a bit different, then people are like, oh, awesome. That means like, yeah. we can just point at you. And that's
and if
fine.
You like music, then you're only kind of gay.
Yeah. You're bi.
Yeah.
and so, yeah, it's all about that. And then moving here and then trying to fit in here. And there is some stuff about Denmark, but it's also about like, it's mainly a show about belonging, really, and trying to find your place to fit in. So if you've ever felt like you're a bit of a, you've not fit in, it's the show for you, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure. Mm. It's going to be fucking great.
Yeah, man,
I'm excited about it.
I'm buzzing. And I, you know, I obviously I did it last year at Comedy Zoo and that was unbelievably exciting.
Yeah, you had two nights or something like that?
I had one night there. I sold out there. And then I did it again in Copenhagen at Citizen. And I sold out there as well, which was really nice. I mean, Citizen's only a 60-seater. But still, like, again, I can't, again, Hildi Kartoffel, I can't express how ridiculous it is in my head that people want to come see me talk. Like, this was just something that I thought, oh, I can tell stories. And then now it's here and it's I'm very, very happy.
No, man, I'm sure you're fucking great at it.
Thanks, man. That means a lot coming from you.
Oh, sure.
It does, brother. It does. Sure. It does.
Should we get to the material?
Let's, man.
Jeg var til øre-næse-halslægen.
Okay.
Ved du, hvad jeg mener?
Nej, hvad er det?
Det er en læge.
Ja. Yeah.
Som, han er øre-næse-halslæge.
Okay, okay.
Så han er basically ansvarlig for alle hullerne i dit hoved.
Okay.
Det er én læge.
Ja, ja, okay.
Det er én læge. Det hedder øre-næse-halslægen.
Okay.
Og jeg har altid synes, at det var sådan en barnligt job.
Ja, ja.
Ja,
altså det er nogen, hvis du er en barn, du siger, hvad vil du gerne være, når du er en voksen? Jeg siger, jeg vil gerne være en ting med en næse og en hoved. It's like, okay, det er ikke en rigtig job.
Nej, altså sådan alle de andre læger lyder voksne, ikke også? Yeah. Du ved, anæstesiolog eller radiolog eller kardiolog.
Ja, ja, ja.
Laver alle sammen.
Latinord.
Latinord, og så har du bare øre, næse, hals, læge, som bare er sådan, det er som at være sådan hoved, skulder, knæ og tå, kirurg, du ved.
Men på engelsk også, men det hedder en EMT-læge. Og det lyder ligesom en voksne. It's like EMT.
Så det er smart.
Ja, ja, det lyder meget smart.
Throat.
Ja, ja, ja. Så du er ligesom, oh, fuck, EMT-læge her. Oh, okay, men bare at sige, det er ligesom bare.
Men det er, vi kan ikke lave forkortelsen.
Nej.
Fordi det er en ørenæshals, det
Det er den støj, det laver, så du går til en læge. Jeg har brug for.
Du lyder som, det er den lyd, du laver, når du har brug for dem, det er rigtigt.
Men ja, så det lyder ligesom en barnlig ting, ligesom head, shoulders, knees and toes. Knees
exactly,
and toes,
ja, ja, ja. Så jeg sagde sådan, der er en hoved, skulder, knæ og tå, kirurg. Altså sådan, det lyder bare barnligt.
Yeah.
Men jeg tror, vi har kaldt dem øre, næse, hals, læge.
Yeah.
Fordi det lyder klamt at bare kalde dem huldoktoren.
Ja. Yeah.
Det er det, hans job er.
Ja, yeah, det er. Ja, ja,
han er ansvarlig for hullerne.
Hvorfor du fred med mig? Det er hans job. Yeah. Han besluttede at gøre det. Yeah. Han går til universitetet for 9 år at være en fucking.
Huldoktoren lyder som noget, du sådan slæsk vil kalde dig selv, når du prøver at bolle. Lasse baby.
Ja, ja, ja.
Har du bestilt tid?
Hold ham,
har du bestilt tid hos holddoktoren?
Ja, jeg forstår, hvis du har ringet op til din læge og spørger for ham også. Det er meget mærkeligt at se det.
Ja. Der skal du lige tjekke, om han er på en eller anden liste et sted. Det er klart. Også holddoktoren lyder for meget som en gynækolog.
Ja, ja.
Det kan du heller ikke.
Nej. Men også, har du fundet, det er masser af gynækolog, der er masser af mænd i den.
Ja, ja.
I den mærke, altså, er det ikke?
I den branche, ja.
Ja, det er branche. Er det mærkeligt? Føler du ikke mærkeligt, hvis du har. Okay, måske det er bare mig, og jeg er meget usikker, men hvis du har en kvinde læg, og du har en problem med din dille, vil det ikke fortrække en mand? Fordi
nej.
Seriøst?
Nej, jeg er ligeglad faktisk.
Og fuck, du er så fucking woke, man.
Nej, men okay. Jeg har engang været med til gynækolog.
Ja?
Jeg har engang været med til gynækolog, uden at gå ind i hvorfor og sådan noget. Og det, der foregår hos gynækologen, er så klinisk og usexet.
Ja.
At alle, der laver det, deres køn forsvinder nærmest. Alle, der foretager det, kunne lige så godt være robotter. Det er sådan, mænd, der er usikre på mandlige gynækologer, er sådan, jeg tror ikke, du har set, hvor usexet det er.
Ja, det giver jo mening faktisk, fordi det er jo
lige så snart du ser redskabet, der er sådan, som at, du ved, det modsatte af en tang.
Ja. Ja, jeg var ikke så.
En tang glemmer, det her, det gør det modsat.
Ja.
Det er
også en kvindes fod er op i en stirrup, så det er meget. Det er sandt, det er meget usexet. Ja.
Men så tænker jeg på, at øre, næse, hals, lægerne, mm-hmm. det må også være sådan de mindst respekterede læger, fordi alle de andre huller har deres egen læger. Du ved, øjenlægerne,
yeah.
det er deres egen ting, ikke? Gynekologer, selv røvhullet har sin egen læge. Og det tror jeg, fordi du ved, du kan ikke have en øre, næse, mund, røvhulslæge, så begynder du at tænke, hvor har det redskab været? Har du husket at vaske?
Ja, ja, det vil sige, ja, ja. Har du husket at synge i dag, din fødselsdag, når du vasker din hænder? Så, okay, ja. Eller måske det
er... Ja, det er mange happy birthdays, ja, ja, du skal lave.
Det er 90 år, altså.
Ja, ja, ja.
Men, you know, hvordan hvis du er en læge, som er en rødhold? Du ved, jeg mener, så hvis du er en EMT-læge, men du er også en PK'er, så er du lidt...
Ja, ja.
Ja, ja, ja.
Men det er jo fordi, der foregår jo vigtige ting omkring røvhullet, ikke? Det er, jo, det er jo hele tarmsystemet også, og sådan.
Ja.
Det er jo alt muligt. Det føles meget som om øre, næse, halslægerne fik det, der var til overs.
Ja.
Alle de voksne valgte
det var
alle de rigtige erhverv.
Det var der tilbage.
Og så var de sådan, ah, fuck, Dennis skal også have et job. Okay, hvor kan han gøre mindst skade? Okay, giv ham alle hullerne i hovedet. Ikke øjnene, de er for vigtige.
Ja, ja, ja. Wow, det er det mest komplicerede ting i vores krop. Så,
super kompliceret. Ja, ja, ja. Ikke noget med øjne.
Ja.
Du ved, øre, næse, hals. Og det er sjovt, du ved, hals, ikke engang mund, fordi tænder er for kompliceret til ham her.
Ja, ja, ja.
Der skal vi have dem, der...
Det er bare munknogler. Så ja, ja, ja.
Det kan gå galt, jo. Altså.
Så man, jeg siger ikke, det kan gå for galt. Men også...
Og så kan du høre næse halslægen, altså sådan, så kan han stå der. Hans job er basically bare at kigge ind i huller.
Ja, ja, lige vil sige. Giv ham alle huller.
Han kigger ind og sådan, du har ørevoks. Okay, virkelig? Ej, wow.
Jeg tænkte, jeg kan se din hjerne. Nej, du kan ikke. Nej, du kan ikke. Det er meget mørke her. Ja, det er ikke. Ja.
Du har slim i halsen. Og hvis de finder... hvis du tager ørenæse halslægen, og han finder noget, der ikke er ørevoks, eller slim, eller snot, ved du, hvad han gør? Ringer til en rigtig læge.
Ja, ja, altså, ja,
vi, ja, det er det første, han gør, det sådan...
For så hvis du sagde det, så jeg vil gerne sige en rigtig læge nu.
Ja, ja, ja.
Ja, ja, ja.
Det han gør, han ringer på en alarm, og alarmen siger, vi har fundet noget, der ikke er snask. Og så kommer der en rigtig læge ind.
Godt klaret, mand. Du er så rigtig god på det arbejde.
Ja,
wow,
ja, ja.
Hvor han går hjem til hans kone eller hans partner, og så hvor går det arbejde? Jeg har fundet så masser ørevoks i dag. Så, ej, du er så god. Du er så dygtig.
Fik du fjernet ørevoksen? Ej, det er en andens job.
Ja, det er rigtig svært, hvad der sker. Det er ligesom sten i din øre. Så. Ja, det er jeg kan rigtig godt lide det faktisk, hvis det er en first come, first serve i medical school.
Ja.
Så det er allerede sådan her. Og så det var, okay, du kan bare have hals og næse. Ja. Det er bare hule.
Det er ligesom, har du prøvet at fordele fodboldhold?
Mm-hmm.
Ja. Første vælger, anden vælger. Ja. Siger det der noget?
Ja, ja.
Systemet, ikke?
Ja, ja.
De sidste fem, der er tilbage, det er sådan, who gives a shit?
Ja,
du tager de tre, jeg tager dem herovre.
Ja.
Alt er ligegyldigt. Det er sådan, ørenæse halslægen fik sit arbejde. Det er sådan, resten er hans.
Ja, ja. Du er den benchwarmer og lærer.
Ja, ja. Eller sådan en anden analogi, ikke? Det er ligesom, hvis du er på en restaurant.
Mm.
Restauranten har både italiensk mad, kinesisk mad, mexicansk mad.
Ja.
Så ved du bare, de er ikke gode til at lave nogen af delene.
Ja, ja, ja. Det er jack of all trades, master
du,
none.
Du ved, at der er stor en mand derude, som gerne vil have lavet en romansk restaurant, men det var der ikke marked for. Yeah. Det er nok det, han rent faktisk kan lave.
Ja, du er meget, suspicious af det, hvis du går ind til en restaurant og siger det.
Yeah, yeah.
Det er det samme ting, hvis du er en EMT-læg.
Ja.
Ja, ja. Det er just like, valg en. Hvis det var bare en, okay, du har dedikeret din hele liv til næse, næsen, okay.
Ja, ja.
Jeg har lidt mere respekt for det, okay. Det er ligesom Bruce Lee, is I fear not the man who's practiced 1,000 kicks. I fear the man who's practiced one kick 1,000 times.
Ah, oh, side.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. The same with Nasa.
Yeah.
Okay, du vill allt singa din Nasa. Du vill varför vi dufter, varför det ska. Men när det är alla tre, det är liksom...
Ja.
Nej, du vet ikke.
De må have... Tror du ikke, man ret hurtigt får et ynglingshul? Når man er...
Ja.
Ørenæsehalslæge.
Oh ja, så han har en yndlingsdel. Ja.
Det må man.
Ja, ja.
Fordi hans job er tre ting. Jeg vil lynhurtigt rangere dem i mit hoved.
Ja,
især det. Ved du, hvad jeg mener?
Han har det på en liste. Det er like, oh fuck, jeg har tre ører til dag med min yndlings...
Ja, og det er ligesom, du ved, når man som stand-up-komiker smider sit dårligste materiale ind i midten. Så han sådan, fucking hals.
Ja, ja.
Ej, den smider vi ind imellem to ører. Fordi...
Ja.
Ja, det er det, jeg har på det. Der er ikke nogen sådan... Tit, hvis jeg har observationscomedy, så leder jeg efter en personlig historie.
Ja. Har du været til en EMT-læger?
Jeg har været til det, men det var kedeligt. Det er sådan noget...
Ja.
Jeg har ondt i halsen.
Ja.
Så kigger ned, og det var ikke noget.
Du har en hals, ja.
Ja.
Tak, ja.
Det går nok over. Det føler jeg meget ørenæsehalslæger siger, Jørgen.
Ja.
Det er deres, du ved, de kan ikke engang uddele medicin. De skriver bare en recept på, det går nok over. Giver den til dig.
Så, ja, tak.
Så kan du sige, tak.
Ja, tak.
Skal jeg ned på apoteket med det? Nej, bare derhjemme.
Ja.
Bare
hold det, hvis du føler dig dårlig næste gang. Du bare kigger på det.
Hvorinde du kan skaffe tid. Ja. Kan du bare finde det. Altså, det kan godt være, det var sådan en ting, hvor man skulle prøve at høre fra en øre-næse-halslæg, for at blive klogere på det. Jeg gad godt vide, om resten af lægeverdenen synes, jeg er en idiot.
Ja.
Yeah, som var de sådan, ej, vi har bare mad respect for ørenæsehalslægerne. Yeah, det er dem, der...
Bro.
De first responders på halskraft eller sådan et eller andet. Altså.
Det er på the front lines, man.
Ja. Yeah.
Det
må være klart dem, der har flest hypokonter.
Det er det mest irriterende mennesker, tror jeg. Fordi så man er hypokondriak, når man kommer ind og så siger, jeg har kræft i min hals. Nej, du bare har drikket fucking 4.000 øl.
Ja,
ja.
Du har været til fodboldkamp og råbt.
Ja, det er det.
Jeg har lidt med halsen.
Ja, men hvor sker der? Måske det er ligesom, ved du, mange mennesker, der siger, kan du spille en instrument? En musikalt instrument, og som en joke, hvis du sagde, jeg spiller triangel.
Yeah.
Hvis du sagde det til nogen, der har spillet i en orkester, det vil sige, faktisk, triangel er væk.
Trianglen er meget,
det er meget svært. Måske det er det samme ting med...
Det kan godt være.
Ja, altså, måske hvis du har en samtale med en læge, faktisk, ENT, det er rigtig svært, fordi det er masser...
Jeg ved ikke, hvad det var, men
jeg ved det ikke. Jeg ved bare, at da jeg var til ørenæsehalslægen, føler jeg, at jeg lige så godt kunne have været hos en fyr, der havde et langt spejl på en pind.
Ja, det er det samme ting. men så det langt på en stav og en spejl på en...
Ja, de kigger der. De kigger ned i halsen med sådan en, ikke? Det er ligesom sådan, du ved, sådan en spion-ting til at kigge rundt om hjørnet.
Kan du forstå, hvis du er i MT, og du bare dun, 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 dun.
Ja. De føler sig sikkert rigtig sneaky, mens de gør det. Han opdager mig slet ikke. Og man sidder bare...
Hvis bare så det er meget interesse at tage ham, fordi det er så kedelig en job. Han er bare, har det bare hjørnet, så det er lidt mere spændende for ham. Og så, okay Lars, din objektiv er at gå ind til hans hals. Dun, 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 du bare hører det, og når du kommer over, du er ligesom, hvad sker der? Dun, 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 dun.
Det kan godt være, at det er sådan, de prøver at gøre deres job spændende.
Ja.
Det er sådan, jeg skal komme frem til det.
Ja.
Jeg siger, at det er virkelig det er et børnejob, og man kan mærke det på den måde, de prøver at gøre det spændende på. De har det der lille spejl på en pind.
Ja.
Så sådan et spionværktøj, ikke?
Ja.
Det er meget sjovt. Nej. Jens, det prøver jeg det her.
Vent. En mere ting. Så kan du forstå, hvis du var på en fly, og du ved, hvis sådan nogle choker og så.
Nå, ja.
Er det en læge her? Og så han står op og siger, ja, jeg er en læge. Og så, perfekt. Hvad for slags er det? EMT. Nej, sæt dig ned.
Ja, sæt dig ned.
Nej, det er okay. Vi har en sygeplejerske. Er det en sygeplejerske? Vi tager en sygeplejerske nu.
Ja.
Det er ligesom en auction.
ja.
Er det en læge? Nej, det er ikke en læge. Vi har sygeplejerske, vi har sygeplejerske.
Og han er sådan, men faktisk, hun har jo noget i halsen.
Ja,
det er jo mit. Det er mit område, og man er sådan,
det er en ting, jeg har lige sagt, det han er faktisk perfekt for.
Ja.
Hvis det var hjertefald, okay, det er, men ja, faktisk, ja, hvis han choker, ja, han er perfekt.
Det er sådan, når han kan kigge ned, ja, du har noget i halsen.
Ja.
Nu skal du så til en rigtig læge for at få det fjernet, det er jo et problem.
Og det kan han give ham en recept, åh, det gør det.
Ja, ørenæs-halslæger, de må elske.
Yeah.
Når folk har noget galt i halsen.
Yeah.
Det må være deres fucking øjeblik, ikke?
Ja.
Der skal de bare huske ikke at tjekke øret først,
så
de er basically golden, altså.
Everyone's always talking about World War III, and all of my friends are asking, would you serve? Like, would you serve? And I was like, no, I wouldn't.
Mm.
And also, why should I? Like, well, I don't want to do that. Do you know who should serve? Old people.
Yeah.
Old people should serve. Old people should go. There is a famous quote by a British Prime Minister, Prime Minister Milktoast. That's his genuine name.
Milktoast?
Milktoast. Yeah.
No, that's not his name.
It's genuinely his name.
No, that's something adorable his wife calls him.
Yeah, Milktoast. His name is Milktoast. And he has this quote that says, war is old men talking and young men dying, right?
Yeah.
Right? Whereas I'm a millennial and we have a similar phrase, which is chat shit, get banged. Get on the front lines.
Yeah.
It's time to, let's put the boom in boomer. It's time, like, you know,
they have
all of the stuff. Like, don't you want to fight for your country? I don't own an apartment. I don't own a house. I don't own anything.
Yeah,
I'm
renting my way into this country.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm 3 months away from living anywhere.
Yeah, the world will be my apartment if I don't pay enough time.
Yeah.
You know, so like my whole thing is, and then it's just and I know some of you are thinking like, oh no, that's an awful thing. It's like, yeah, but why? But like this part is like, well, why is it okay that young men? You have no problem with an 18-year-old going to do it, but
yeah,
you know, suddenly. Fucking Tobias, who's like 80 and is craving death.
Yeah.
Have you spoken to an 80-year-old? They can't wait to die. And they just want to feel important.
That's true.
They want to feel useful. True. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But you know, the problem is, you know, old people, they get confused.
They do, but so do soldiers.
You can't be too old because you're going to forget who you're fighting for.
But this is another thing though, is like, that's a benefit though, because some of the worst things that happen is when soldiers come home and they have PTSD. Not a problem for old people.
Yeah,
they'll forget it.
Oh, that's great.
They'll forget it. No PTSD for you. They'll be like, what was I doing last year? You were committing war crimes, Nana. you bombed a mosque. And also there's this like widows, you know, it's like, there's another quote, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. It's just there, like, you know, like everyone always has widows. Old people have tons of widows already. Pre-war.
Yeah.
Get them in there.
Oh, you're onto something.
I am onto something.
You're on.
And do you know what's fucked up, man? I believe this in a really weird way. Like,
But you know, warfare is getting more and more technical.
That's true.
They're gonna need help.
But don't you?
Young people will be the guy with the drones.
Oh no! Don't you want to see an old lady try and navigate a predator drone?
Yeah, but also I want to win this war. I want to win this hypothetical war.
That's true.
Well, but I feel like old school war is so dumb.
Yeah,
like point and shoot.
Yeah,
that's an old person's job.
Yeah,
it's gotten so technical.
Yeah, yeah.
We need the young nerds.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll be the cyber department.
60 kilometers back, miles away from the front line. You know,
yeah,
because that's so true. Because you know. Like, if you speak to an old person now, they're like, you know, this is a real job, you know, working with your hands. It's just like,
yeah.
Well, get that bayonet on that rifle and walk that way. And we'd have different, I was like, I've got one where it is like, we'd have different divisions as well of old people. So there'd be like, you know, the armored division, but they're in the little scooters. Like they would be like tanks and stuff. And then you'd have like the Air Force, but they'd be like old ladies with the saggy underarms just flying through the air.
No parachutes, just like a flying squirrel. grandma. Like,
yeah, all you hear is as they just fly through the air. It's like, oh my God, they're here.
Yeah.
But like the problem.
You can't spot them in the air. You can just hear them complaining. Their complaints getting closer.
It's like, yeah, it's like, do you remember World War II? The Luftwaffe, it was like a mortar, it was a Messerschmitt. It had that intentional sound that it go,
yeah.
And it was to like instill fear in the troops. That's our version of that.
You know? Your
mouth are cold. Heat seeking wouldn't work on them either because they're always so cold.
That's true.
It'd be really good sneaky division.
Yeah,
like covert operations. My I don't know if it's funnier if it's just us that send the old people to war, or if everyone in the world agrees that it's old people war.
I think we all need to agree.
I think we all need to agree, because also it'll solve overpopulation and housing and the voting system. And
yeah, there's a bunch of things that would be solved.
I'm just saying.
I'm about to start this war. That's the problem with your theory, is that you're making this World War sound enticing.
It sounded really good. Imagine being able to afford an apartment for when they got an apartment, which was like, I don't know, like two cat's teeth and a napkin. But also,
when you have like a premise like this, which is like kind of like etchy or whatever, like one of the ways around it might be to talk about like, you would be so good at it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like,
that's true.
When your girlfriend wants you to do some practical shit more, she's always like, oh, you're the best.
Works every time as well.
Yeah.
And I know I'm being manipulated.
Yeah, I don't care.
And they're like, but I am really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I am the best. And that works with audiences as well.
Yeah. But there you go. You could have, that's a great idea. You could have, you're going to be like, you know, people, you guys are sometimes thinking, no, not my grandma. Yes, your grandma. We need, and then Danish people will be like, oh, nein, ich bin beste. Yes, your beste. We're going to need the best of the bestest.
The best of the bestest. Oh, that's funny.
Is it like SAS? Is like best of the bestest? Yeah. I like that.
Oh, I've never thought about how arrogant that term is.
Beste.
Beste,
yeah. It's so funny. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're better than moms? Oh, shut the fuck up. Oh. You're feeding them candy and sitting in your ass.
You're just the old iPhone.
Best them all. Oh, yeah. Oh, but sure.
And then it's like,
the best.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. I'm Big Dick Jeff. It's really like, it's just, all right, okay. Okay. Yeah. What a weird way to introduce yourself.
I'm pretty sure moms are better than best of moms.
Yeah, for sure.
Have anyone ever talked about this?
No.
Just fucking
write it down.
It's just
right. It's always been there.
Oh, you want it?
Yeah,
it's for you. It's for you.
I'll have that.
Because like, there's like, you're always saying you're the best.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
The greatest generation, they call themselves.
Yeah,
that's so true.
Bestemor is so arrogant.
That's so true.
So arrogant.
I love that. It is really arrogant, but it's like a great grand Olamor, isn't it? Olafa.
Yeah,
yeah. Olatifa or Olamor.
Ole is the great.
Great.
Yeah. Great.
Great, great.
And Tip Ole is great, great, great.
Okay. That's so funny as well that like there's old and then there's the tip of old. Yeah. Like when you think we couldn't get any older, then there's the tip of it. The little tippy toppy.
I'm not sure I've ever met a Tip Olefa.
Oh, you should definitely come to Northern Ireland. You'll meet tons of them.
Really?
Yeah, man. We have like, they have kids like at 16. So like,
but I feel like the people who are having kids at 16 would also die at 60. So how the fuck?
That's very true. That's very true.
How there's do you a pull very, that shit off?
A very short window.
Yeah.
Everyone get in line for this photo.
Yeah. It has to be like an entire family of people having children at 16, but getting their lives straight at 20, which is like a very small group of
your midlife crisis.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Can I pick your brain for one more thing? I've got one more thing.
Oh, but I feel like this is like, I feel like I should have come up with more for this.
You could text me.
I will if I come.
Please do.
Because it's like...
This is one of those premises.
What does the draft really look like? In like, if you go to Session, you've never been to it in Denmark, but it's like a bunch of 18-year-olds and we're testing their intelligence, checking their physique.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? They're 18-year-olds. They're fine. They're fresh off the factory. Yeah. But old people, we need to check them anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it would probably be good to like... have a cognitive test.
That's when the EMT doctor. And
a mandatory doctor look visit.
The EMT doctor gets, that's when he gets involved and he gets like, I don't know, 200 kroner per person he suggests onto the front lines. He gets like a cut or something. That's so true. Like that.
And also like when you, what the fuck is it? When you're drafting people, it's basically a raffle. Old people love raffles. You know?
Very nice.
You're pulling numbers out of a fucking tombola. This is old people stuff.
That's so good.
They would love it.
Yeah, raffle. Old people love that shit.
You'll hear them from the back. West Posen. Ah, gamle ole. You'll be so excited for it.
That means if you mix in a few of the things as well, it's just like, you know, I don't know, like a spy pulser, you know, like things like that. And then the special winner gets to go to the front lines.
Yeah.
What did you win? Oh, yeah. I won frontline infantry. That's so good. Conscription. That's so good.
Like the Danish military considered, right? Old people might be the only ones who know how all of our shit works because it's
so
like
old.
So old.
That's so true.
You were the generation that made these chips.
Yeah, figure it out. Yeah. They're like, that would be like the equivalent of us like showing, you know, a kid an iPod Nano in like 10 years and stuff. He's like, you don't know how to make this thing work?
Yeah.
It's like their version of that is like a T-51 armored transport vehicle.
I think like that might be why nothing works in the military because we're making 18-year-old try to work
old
60-year-old technology.
That's so good. That's so true. Yeah, that's like trying to get like...
Yeah, I bet they're in there like swiping the missiles off the ship. Why doesn't it work?
It's just like those. It's a button. It's a button. It's not a touch screen.
Yeah.
It's a button.
It's a button.
It's a button. It's like, what the fuck's a button?
Yeah.
That's
you can't zoom in on the radar. That's not how it works.
Oh, no. They just think it's like a new trending TikTok sound they hear. Like, you know, in the sonar, they go boop.
Yeah.
Boop. They're like, oh, fuck. This slaps. But that's also another thing as well is like, you know, if you get young people going to war and stuff, it's just they're like the insufferable amount of the day in the life on the person doing that. This is what it's like being on the front lines.
Yeah.
Here is my day. It's like, well, I get up and then I do this and then I drink my matcha tea and then I do 50 press ups and then I go, like, you don't want that. I also, what would the film be like for,
Oh yeah.
You know, like that would change the landscape, you know, like Saving Private Ryan with old people.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that young kid, isn't there, who
they
wants to
get out.
Keep
forgetting about Ryan.
No, Saving Private Ryan is just about a guy called Ryan who's really shy.
But you know, Saving Private Ryan was kind of about a guy who got lost.
That's so true.
So there would just be like a bunch of Saving Private Ryans.
Yeah, that's so true.
There would be so many lost old people.
Everyone's already shell-shocked before they get to the beach. They just hear tinnitus going, ee.
Yeah. The problem would be like, you know, the generation that fought these old wars, you know, they learned a lot of lessons.
That's true.
And they have this wisdom and all of that wisdom would just be lost.
Yeah.
Because they would forget it the next day.
What was it like? I don't know.
It probably wasn't good.
Listen here, John.
Did we win?
Well, judged by the uniform, you take a guess. Listen, John, Jeff, whatever. The thing about war is...
What's the thing?
And then they just trail off. Like, is you hungry or...
Yeah.
I
I've tried it three times on yeah? stage. Twice it's worked.
Yeah.
Once it did not work. And that's interesting because I think this is something that is very, you know, you say it enough smiles, you say it with enough, wink in your eye and whatnot.
Yeah.
You can get away with it.
But, yeah.
That one time I was like, oh, it comes across as too mean.
Yeah.
It's clearly a flight of fancy. It's clearly nonsense. Like, it's clearly nonsense. It's like the same as Monty Python with the old ladies who would rob people on the street. It's like that level of silliness, you know, to imagine, you know, these old people being deadly. Jonas Kiesko, actually, when I said this to him, it was just that he, like, I was like, what do you think of that? And in his classic way, he kind of went, they're all like kept artificially alive anyway. I don't know, like they should have been dead a long time ago. So they're like an immortal army.
Yeah, I feel like we're going towards like robots fighting wars and stuff.
Yeah.
And old people are kind of halfway there. You know?
Bionic, like they've got more steel in them than people. It's like, you know, the hip, the arm, the bolts. Yeah.
Next time we're replacing hips, just put in one of those robot hips. You know, program them to march.
That would be,
one day when the Russians come, they just get off their couch like the Manchurian candidate. Like, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just following their legs.
But the top officer's like, that's like Wallace and Gromit. That's so funny. I love that.
Did you have something else?
I do have something else. Do we have time?
We have a bit of time. Yeah, sure.
I
know I'm checking my watch like I got shit to do. I think we can make it before like 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah. I think so.
It's 1:20 now.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
I think we've got some time to kill. I have a bit. This one's really hard, man. So I'd need your opinion on this. So I went to the museum in Yulen with the Graubelement.
Oh yeah.
And I, you know, one of the most well preserved corpses in the whole world. Like, it's still like, you know.
Yeah, because he was found like in a bog.
Yeah, in a bog. And as an Irish lad, I'm there like, a bog. That sounds good. He's one of me.
You were disappointed. You were like, I thought this was the bog museum.
Like, oh fuck, it's just a man. Show me a good old bog. And I was there, and then you know, you see, you know, so well preserved. And like, even as hair, like quite a lot of hair, not just like a bit of hair, like hair.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at it and I shit you not, there was just a guy stood there and he was like in his 50s and he was bald.
Yeah.
And I remember just, he like, you could just tell he was looking at me, he was like, this motherfucker has hair. He's like thousands of years old.
Yeah.
He has some hair and I don't. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, that's a shit. And then it got me thinking. It was like, that person didn't ask to be put. Like, imagine trying to explain the concept to that. If you could speak their language,
yeah,
that you'd be in a box and people would come and stare at your body. And like, that could happen. We wouldn't know. You know, when the nukes drop and everything's happened in 5,000 years or whatever, and then they dig our bones up, we could be in like a museum. And then, mate, my thing I want to do is I want to confuse future archaeologists.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to really, and I think that's what happened with the Egyptians. That's why we don't really understand what's going on there. That's why they just buried cats and shit. Like, they were just trying to fuck with us.
Yeah.
You know?
When they were drawing the hieroglyphs, they were like, give him an owl face. That'll fuck people up.
No, make him an owl. Give him an owl face. That was great. Give him an owl face. That'd be hilarious. And like, it for me, it feels like, you know, when you've just got like a load of shit in your apartment and you don't want to get rid of it. So they're just like, I will put it in his tomb. You know? We'll just get rid of, we'll just put all
this. It's like the ultimate hoarding.
Just there, like, so what, like, I want to confuse future archaeologists. And I was like, right, I want to be like found surrounded by Hannah Montana CDs.
Yeah.
You know, like, or just really weird shit that they'd be like, and then they'd think, oh, well, she must have been like a god to this person. And it was a great honor to, she was both two people, two souls in one body. Like Native American and stuff.
Oh, it's funny. I've had the same kind of thought.
Yeah.
Cause I watched a documentary about like, what the fuck, that volcano that erupted.
Pompeii.
And everyone was covered in dust immediately.
Yeah.
Frozen in time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope it wasn't immediately. I hope they had like 8 seconds to think of a cool pose. You know, imagine the pressure. You're dying in five, four. you're watching the volcano.
The flow, yeah.
And you just know, oh, fuck. What do I do? Like,
that's so funny. Go. You're like, what would you do?
Is the dab timeless? You're like, you're figuring out with your friends, like, do we floss? What do we do?
You don't even get to the end of that sentence. Do we floss? And then it's over. You didn't have time.
Yeah.
You know, if you're indecisive, indecisive people don't make history.
There was like one guy when they're like, oh, he was reading a book. And I was like, I bet he just like he panicked. He was like, oh, I'm very red.
That's so good. Have you done that? Have you done that on stage?
No.
That's funny.
No, it might be funny.
I really
like it. But it's kind of the same premise.
Nah.
You want to...
No, that one's better. I like that a lot. That's very funny. Because it also plays into people's ideas of how they want to be remembered. And like, you know what I mean? Like leaving a legacy. But if you had 8 seconds to leave a legacy, what would it be?
Yeah.
That's so funny, dude. I'm very well read, but it's a book about third wave feminism, so people will think I'm a good guy.
Honestly, I'll trade it for the Kaubelman joke very much because I feel like that joke is funnier if you're bald.
Well, I'll say it.
No. Nah.
I really like yours.
You serious?
Yeah, I really like yours.
Fuck. That other joke, it's funny, but it's funnier if you can be angry about it.
Yeah.
You're talking about a person.
I'm removed.
Yeah,
you're
removed from this thing, and you're like imagining what it must be like.
Yeah.
But if I do a bit about seeing the Kaubelman and he has hair, I'm like, this motherfucker.
Yeah, you can have it. You can. You know what? You can absolutely.
I'm 35. This dude is 6,000.
Especially if you build it up and you just say like, you know, and not to get too, you know, you're on stage and you go, and not to get too like poignant on it, but I'm looking at this person and thinking, this was a human being with thoughts and feelings and stuff, and so I've been preserved, and I looked and still has hair, you know, and I'm there like, you motherfucker. You try and go like you're gonna go poignant, but then you do a turn like
this fucker's
6,000
year old dead guy.
He has more hair than me.
There is something funny about, like, because there's Ekvilpin and Kaubelman.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a similar thing. Like, they were buried in a place that kind of preserved them.
Yeah.
But the Kaubelman, he was just in a bog.
Yeah.
And he's the most important man of his time now.
Yeah.
And he was probably just a doofus who fell in a bog. You know? And everyone's really like, oh, I wonder who he was.
Yeah.
He was an idiot.
How many people do you know fall in bugs? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or people were like, shut up, Kaubelman. Threw him in a bug.
Imagine the dumbest person you know who falls over a lot.
Yeah.
Imagine if they became one of the most important people in your country's history.
Yeah. Even Ekvilpin, who was like
sacrificed.
Yeah. But I bet you, if you were to sacrifice someone, you'd choose an annoying person.
100%.
100%, right?
Oh my God.
There would be like a vote.
Yeah.
And they were talking about it like, oh, great gods. But in their heads, they're like, it's the gods' problems now.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah.
they were there like doing the votes, and it was like, of course, you know, our God that we know prefers people who have, you know, before the ages of 13, before they become a woman and things like that. But the annoying one is like 14.
Yeah.
And they're like, but because the moon.
Yeah.
They just try and twist it.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the fuck?
Are you making up excuses to kill your teenager?
No, that's blasphemy, actually, and the God won't like that, so we're definitely going to have to kill her now to make him happy, because, you know, my hands are tied. Yeah. Ironically, so will hers. Come over here.
It's talking shit about Gaubelumen and Egville Peen is really funny.
It is funny, because also it's comedy plus time.
It's tragedy plus time. A lot of time. Which makes it really funny.
It's gotta be, right? That's how it works.
It must be the funniest.
It's like interest.
Oh man, that's great.
Oh, fuck, that's so like comedy nerdy.
It is that
going on? I'm not gonna go on stage and say it, but you will get a chuckle from
people, and you'll be like, "All right, you guys can stay."
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's like
this joke is the best because it's tragedy plus a lot of time. Yeah.
So it's like a fine wine, like it's like something from the Chateau de Paf or something. It's like as well. I think I remember just on a riff one time. I was just there, like I did a joke and it got like a ha, and I was just like, "Wait, guys, what are you on about? That was rule of three." Like one person laughed at it. I was like, okay, good. All right. So, you should come to all of my shows.
Fuck it. I hate rule of three.
No, I know. I use it all the time. It's, you know, it's a crutch.
It's a bad crutch.
It's a terrible
crutch. No, I would love it if it worked.
Yeah. Oh, you really?
Yeah.
You don't think it works?
Fuck rule of three. I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a controversial opinion.
Is it?
Yeah. Nah. Rule of three is like it's like your hammer and your toolbox of comedy jokes. No, it's just like duh.
Yeah,
it will always get a laugh just because of rhythm, and you know, comedy is surprise.
You can have the same rhythm doing two,
but I'm not on that.
And
level.
Also, like you could have like an even funnier rhythm doing like three funny things.
That's true. But you see, I think
like there's something I like doing two.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do like, all right, here's the thing about the rule of two.
Mm.
If you mention two things instead of three, then it actually sounds like you're comparing the two things.
Yeah, that's true.
Which makes the last thing funnier.
That's,
like, it's like, that makes it, I wish I had an example.
To brain, so here's that. What's interesting about that is just in a wonderful sense of irony is that you're doing two. And by not doing three, that's an even bigger surprise.
Yeah.
So therefore, the two is a huge surprise. So you've upgraded from three to two. And then one day when you're at the top of the comedy, like, you know, you've achieved nirvana in comedy, you'll just be able to do one.
Honestly, yes.
Yeah.
You're saying it like it's, but I do mean it.
And I mean it too, because I can do two. I don't have the writing chops to do two. I need three.
But also, like, people are getting smart to the rule of three.
Yes. So and that's why you're ahead of the curve.
Comedy is all about surprise.
It is.
And when I watch comedy and I hear, like, all right, here comes the list of three examples.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
And I'm just waiting for the punchline.
Yeah.
And like by the first example, I'm waiting.
You know what the next, yeah.
By the second example, I'm predicting.
Yeah.
And by the third example,
you're ahead.
30% of the time I'm thinking mine was better. The one I came up with in my head while you were doing the first two.
Whilst the volcano came at you and no, that's better.
It's like, don't give the audience time to think up their own joke.
That's true. That's true.
Rule of two.
Rule of two, baby.
Yeah.
I I love that. No, it is true. I always dislike it when this is going to sound so wanky, but sometimes when you watch a comedy thing and then you go like, oh, and then you go this way and then they do and you go, I was really hoping you'd surprise me. You know what I mean? That's such a wanky comedian thing to do. It's very wanky. Yeah, I was really hoping
we all do it, and we all keep it to ourselves.
Mate,
except for us right now.
Except for right now on this very public broadcast.
Yeah.
I, one thing as well is like, this is a story that's very, because of me obviously being the English speaking comedian here in Copenhagen, I get asked to sometimes open for comedians when they come
Oh yeah, you opened for David Cross.
Unbelievable. Like one of the best days of my life. Like I couldn't believe it. I was like, and he was so lovely and the best and so funny. Like, I mean, just so funny and like, and very kind and just really nice. And that one was less intimidating, but like more often than not, what's really funny is because I'll go on and they're there for one day. So all of our colleagues and friends in the branch are in that room.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I can see them and it's just like, it's like a review.
Yeah.
It's like a peer review every 3 months or something. I was like, all right, here we go. I got to be funny in front of everyone who knows it's the most about comedy in this country.
Fucking gig.
Mate, it's rough. And every time I'm there like, oh fuck, here we go. Because you see him immediately. Because you go out and, you know, you scan the crowd and you're like,
yeah,
okay, there's last sorry, man. Fuck, okay, all right. And then in your head, like for a brief moment, you're like, I did this 2 months ago when I was opening for whoever. And you're like, oh shit, they've heard this one before. And you're like, ah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, but you must be good at it because I haven't heard anyone talking shit about you. And there are some legendary stories about Danish comedians doing shitty warm-up for American comedians.
Oh, fuck. I'll take that's high praise. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not, I don't want to mention names. Well, one of them, he's talked about this himself.
Okay, fair.
And he's so great. Yeah. But Simon Talbot.
Yeah. I love Talbot. Yeah.
Dude, fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
He, when he was like pretty new, did a warm-up act for Doug Stanhope, which was a mistake. I wasn't there. I just heard like, oh, that was
fucking... But fuck. Yeah. Bless him. I love Talbot. He's like one of the nicest. The first time I ever met him was at this, the only open mic in the whole of Copenhagen. He was coming by. This was before he was going to warm up for Russell Howard. And I did not know who Talbot was at all.
Oh, he's great.
And class guy. So lovely and really funny. And he came by and it was like three people in the audience. Right. And then the guy's like, let's do the show. And you're like, okay. And then Talbot comes and I just hear, he's speaking English. So I just hear an Irish guy.
Yeah.
But like an Irish guy with a bit of a weird accent. So I'm there like, oh, right. Okay. Where's this fella from? And he's lovely and sweet and kind. And you know, we're just having this lovely chat. And then I go on and eat shit because it's three people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. And then I was just like, ah, best of luck. And he's like, ah, well, you know. So he goes on, kills it, genuinely kills it in front of three people. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, whoa, who's this guy? Like, I didn't know, like, who's this guy?
Yeah, it must be so weird for you because you don't have, you have no references of who are good or bad.
No. And that's been a positive thing for me as well because I meet people when I first came here and I was like, hey, how's it going? And people be like, that guy's been whatever. I was like, okay. Yeah. But like, he came off and I was like, dude, that was fucking incredible. Like, and he was like, ah, cheers. And he was very himself. He's like, ah, cheers. And you know, it could be better. And then one of the audience members come by and goes, you know, hi, Simon. And I didn't understand any Danish at this point. He was like, hi, Simon. And they had this conversation in Danish. And I was like, mate, your Danish is amazing. Like, how long have you lived here for? And he's like, ah, well, I'm actually half Danish. I was like, ah, right, okay. Oh,
he was born in Skanderborg.
Exactly. I was like, all right, okay. Ah, that explains the accent. All right, okay. And he's like, anyway, I've got to go. I was like, all right, see you later. And my friend, Anas, he's like, don't you know who that is? I was like, no, he's just a sound Irish lad.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, he's like one of the biggest comedians in the country who's doing arena tours right now.
Yeah. But I can understand your confusion because he was performing for three people.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? You're like, why are you here? Yeah. you should be on a yacht.
Well, anyways, we got to wrap this up. We don't, but I'm going to.
I could. We'll just talk after.
Yeah, sure. So the show.
Yeah.
It starts in a couple of weeks.
It does, yes.
How's the ticket sales going?
Dude, I'm thrilled.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I'm like, again, you know, so I don't have, when I did the, what's Comedy Zoo, 180, 200?
Yeah, it's like 175 now.
Wait, 175, yeah. Right. So when I did that and it sold out, I couldn't believe it because I was like, I can't believe that many people wanted to come. And then to do the Citizen, which is about 50. So that's like already, but when I got this, I was like, that's already 200 tickets that I have. Like,
yeah,
that's the 200 people who want to see me have seen me. But so I'm nearly sold out on the 12th of October. So I'm playing from 4 until 5. So on the 12th of October, I'm nearly sold out. There's a few tickets left there, which is really good. The 10th and the 11th of October, I'm half sold out, which that's nice. So that's about 20 tickets because it's a 50-seater room. So that's nice. 13th, I've sold 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's all right. The 15th, I've also sold 4. And then the 14th, I've sold 9. So,
dude, you're already killing Simon Talbot.
You're doing it.
His arena, he could never. But I obviously, because the judges are coming around and stuff, and I'm just, at one point there was only one person.
Oh,
and yeah. I was like, God, please let it be that day. That'd be so funny. If it was just the one, you know, if it was just fucking Sean Durrett or something or whatever.
I know that sounds terrible, but I guarantee you the judges will have mad respect.
They'll give you like plus two.
We've all been there.
They'll give you like plus two. Dude,
but that's going to be fine. You're going to sell tickets in the next couple of weeks.
And I'm a bit of a I sell my body on the street with flyers and stuff, which is a thing you guys don't really do here.
No.
Yeah. But I don't have any respect for myself. So I'm like, please come. But yeah, if you want to come check it out, please come.
It might work for you.
Yeah.
Because you got to get some English speaking people in there as well.
I really do.
And they don't have the, we don't talk to people rule that Danish people have.
No, they don't. They're, you know, you can tell people by eye contact. You're like, you're not from here.
Oh, great, man. It's good having you.
Mate, thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Det var Jefferson Bond. Var det ikke hyggeligt? Jeg har fået en idé. Hvad hvis jeg synkronoversætter min engelske podcast? Hvad jeg mener, ligesom da man var lille, og man så svensk børneunderholdning, så kunne man i baggrunden høre sådan små svenske børnestemmer, der var sådan høvdi, pøvdi, fløvdi. Og så var der en eller anden pædagogstemme, der sagde, kom herover, Pippi, råber Tommy og Annika. Det var en meget mandet stemme. I hvert fald, I ved, hvad jeg mener. Det er også en dårlig idé. Hey, hvis I vil se mig optræde live, så er jeg på Aarhus Comedy Club i Aarhus. Sjovt nok, den 3. og 4. oktober med Niels Nørkær og Søren Ladefod. Det er virkelig to sjove fyre, men det ved I jo godt, hvis I hører podcasten her. Den 7. oktober, der er jeg på Comedy Zoo med Mikkel Klintorius. Også grineren, hva? Og så starter Opfestivalen i efterårsferien, hvor sindssygt mange dygtige komikere har shows i København. Og jeg får lov til at præsentere et par af dem på Comedy Zoo's Showcase Show. Den 10. og 11. oktober, det hedder ikke Showcase Show, det hedder... Hvad fanden er det? Jeg kan ikke huske, hvad de kalder det. Men det er en slags showcase, hvor jeg præsenterer smagsprøver for de fremragende shows, man kan opleve på festivalen. Det bliver en slags, hvad fanden hedder det der, Disney's juleshow? Jeg er Jesper Forkylling. Komikerne er alle de der grineren folk, der laver Disney-ting. Jeg har gået tabt i den her analogi. I hvert fald, kom ind og se det, mand. Husk, du kan også støtte podcasten her på tier.com/vikmaskinen, og at mit one-man-show helt sikkert kan ses helt gratis på YouTube. Ved I hvad? Vi lyttes ved. Ha' det godt alle sammen.